carry. Thank you.
Good morning. Today's reading is from Colossians and it is on page 1182. It's chapter 1, verse 15 to 20, the supremacy of the Son of God. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. It's the word of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you. A wonderful, wonderful passage. And we're beginning a few Sundays just working our way through the book of Colossians, and Marilyn has chosen these verses particularly, not surprisingly, because they're just so amazing to speak on. So let's pray for Marilyn, shall we? And for ourselves too. So Father God, we thank you so much that you have given Marilyn words to speak, truths to utter, and we pray that you will give her the voice to do so now, and also that you'll give us hearts to receive and to be obedient as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll just move it. Yeah. Good morning, everyone. I'll just move this down a little bit, shall I?
Let's move this out of the way if you've got the other one.
Yeah, that's fine. Happy New Year, everyone. I've got an interesting voice, but I've got the Holy Spirit and hot tea, and Joe's given me a fisherman's friend for each pocket, which he says will blow my head off if I take it, so I'm going to save those. So, what better way to start the new year than by looking at a scripture like this? I just want to begin before we look at it by just sharing something from this week. There was a day this week when I was standing looking out at our garden, and as I was standing there, I realised that I wasn't actually looking at the garden. I was just standing looking and thinking about all the things I had to do. And I felt God speak to me and say, stop. Just stop and enjoy your garden. And as I looked, I saw that some plants were had lost their leaves and some were getting new leaves and there were bulbs coming up and there was lots of beauty in the garden to be seen that I wouldn't have seen if I just glanced at it. And every day there's something fresh happening in the garden that I don't see if I don't look. And so as I prepared for this, I was thinking, is it like that with the Word of God? Do we read a passage and not really read it or take it in because we know what it says? Because there is something new and fresh in God's Word every day. Do we really look and seek to find what God wants to say to us? I think sometimes we need to stop and take time to gaze upon his beauty and to remind ourselves who he is. And so with that in mind, we'll look at this scripture, which you've probably read lots of times before, but to just go through it and take time to gaze upon his beauty and remind us who he is. So it begins, verse 15, the Son is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the exact imprint of God. He's an exact representation of a God who loves us and who is invisible to human eyes. He is the Son. He is divine. He is a holy God made visible to us in a human body. It is like looking in a mirror. The Father says, this is me. This is what I am like. If you want to know me more, look at the character of Jesus. If you want to know how to treat other people, look at how Jesus treated other people. If you want to know how to pray, look at the pattern of prayer in Jesus' life. He Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Jesus represents God. He radiates the glory of God because he is the image of the invisible God. John 6, verse 6 says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen." Jesus is the image of the Father who is unseen. He is the one who is ever present and in whose presence we can dwell. When we go into a room and close the door, the presence of the image of the invisible God is with us. And we can take time to gaze upon his beauty and remind ourselves of who he is. And well, that changes us forever. Verse 15, a bit further on, says he is the firstborn over all creation. Jesus has always been. He wasn't created, he is the creator. John 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Jesus is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. There has never been a time when he has not been. He is not limited to time. He's always been and always will be. He's at the beginning of time. He's at creation. He's at the cross. He's at the end of time as we know it, and he is everywhere in between that, because he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lord who was and is to come. He is everlasting to everlasting. I'm just going to sip my tea. Verse 16 says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." Jesus is the creator. He is the one to whom it all belongs. It is all under his power and authority. He is the heir to all things. He is the source of creation. He brought things into existence that didn't exist before. He is the Lord over the physical world and all that we see, and the spiritual world and all that we don't see. We see the goodness of all that he has created on planet Earth. We can see the seasons and the sun and the moon and the stars in the sky. We can see animals and plants. We can see the seas that are filled with life, all created by him. We can see the beauty that he has created in human beings. We see the love of God through one another, don't we? We see strength and courage and integrity. We see the light of the Son of God shining through his followers. We see grit and determination to carry on through tears and pain and sorrow and heartbreak, because people are amazing. They are unique. They are created in the image of God. We see the rulers of the day. We see thrones that people have built for themselves to sit upon. We see superpowers. We see terrorist powers who threaten our safety. We see people who carry out terrible atrocities. We see people who inflict pain and sorrow on others. They have no power over him. He is over them all. We cannot see the heavenly hosts of angels sent to minister to those who will receive salvation, but by faith we know that they are there. We cannot see the dominion of darkness that lies behind the actions of evildoers, but we know that it is there. We cannot see the devil, demons, the supernatural that causes pain and sorrow and misery, but we know that it is there, and he is Lord over them all. He is the Lord over every power and authority. There is no one, nothing, no thing that can stand against him in heaven or on earth. He stood in the face of all that evil had to throw at mankind, and he set his face like flint and he went to the cross. And it was there at Calvary that the battle was won on our behalf. Victory. It is finished, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him, shall not perish but have eternal life. His majesty, He sustains everything. He holds it in his hands. He holds it. He holds creation. He is in control. We can look at the events of this world and think, how can God be in control of this? The events of the world do not surprise him. He doesn't change. It doesn't change who he is. He has the ultimate authority. It says in Matthew that even the wind and the waves obey him. Verse 18 says, he is the head of the body, the church. This beautiful, amazing church, Trinity, belongs to him. To the world outside the door, we represent who he is. We are his body. We are his. He is the head. The church was his idea. Jesus loves the church. He loves the church so much that he gave himself for her. The church shows the world Jesus, and the only way that a church can do that well is by putting him first. Every single person, every single heart, putting him first. To be people who seek his face, people who show love instead of hate, people who show grace instead of judgment. And by standing together in unity, one body, standing on the truth of the Bible, even when it's not popular and even when it's a sacrifice, because as time rolls on, it will be less popular and more of a sacrifice. And if we want to be a church that stands, then individually and as a church, we need to be in very close communion with Jesus. Drink. I haven't needed the fisherman's friend yet. Verse 18 says, he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Jesus is the firstborn from among the dead. Resurrection power flows from him to all his followers. The spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in us if we are Christians. It is in us. We hear that a lot, I think, and we may lose the wonder of that. The Holy Spirit dwells in each of us. And yes, we will die, every single one of us, but that is absolutely not the end. Because we have a Saviour who is the Lord over all, who has the supremacy, who has faced the dominions of darkness, who has stared death in the face, been swallowed by it, and rose again. Death is defeated. It has no hold over him or those who belong to him. He has the supremacy. He is first. He has the supremacy whether we give it to him or not. He is the Lord whether we acknowledge him or not. He is the supreme ruler of heaven and earth and all that dwell in them. He is the supreme king of kings throughout history. He's the supreme judge of mankind. He is the supreme healer. He is the supreme redeemer. He is the supreme savior over the entire world. He has the supremacy. He is I am. He is a holy God from whom we receive salvation for our souls. Verse 19 and 20 says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in Jesus. All the fullness was in him. He was not part man and part God. He was fully God and fully man, a divine human being. The fullness of God is not in the church. The fullness of God is not in the vicar. It's not in Bible studies. It's not in a course. It's not in the nicest, kindest, gentlest, most godly person that you will ever meet. It is not found in a title or a position. The fullness is found in Jesus himself. All those other things are amazing and important, but he is the one that we need to be in close communion with. If you want more of God, you will find it in Jesus. And from our relationship with him, all those other things will flow in a natural order. It was by the shedding of his own blood that we are saved. It could not be done another way. We live this Christian life, and I think sometimes we can be quite dismissive of our sins, unless they're big ones. But this image of the invisible God, he is holy. And sin does matter, and it is not okay. Calvary was too terrible to be optional. The suffering was too enormous to be unnecessary. And the Son, well, he was far too precious to the Father to be handed over needlessly to such pain and agony. This was the sacrifice of a sinless, divine man who gave up the treasures of heaven so that we could be his, to reconcile us to him, to give us the option of saying, yes, I am yours with all of my heart. I want to follow you. And he did that knowing that many people will say, no thanks. So this is the God to whom we pray. And I think sometimes we lose the wonder of who he is. Do we spend a lot of time reading his word but not really reading it? Do we pray but not really enter into his presence? I think sometimes we can create God in our own image. We can make him someone who likes and dislikes the same people that we do. We can mumble a few words to him every day and think he may or may not be listening. He may or may not be able to do anything about it. We make him someone who is far away and someone who is maybe a bit more powerful than me. How wrong we are. How wrong we are. Because he is the name above all names. He is supreme. He is the first and the last. He is the Lord over the physical and spiritual world. There is no one who stands against him. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the way to heaven. He is the image of the Father in heaven who loves us more than anyone ever has or ever will. And he sees all our mess ups. He knows every thought that processes through our brains. He knows every action that we have carried out. He knows every word we have spoken, good and bad. And he still loves us. He is the image of God. He is God. He is the one. He is holy. He is a God who is capable of and in the business of miracles. And he asks us to do a simple thing, believe. Believe in me. He is the one we speak to day after day. He's the one we whisper a quick prayer of help to when we really need it. It is him, the King of heaven. He is not far away, he is right here. His still, quiet voice leads us and guides us every day. It is life, quite often, that drowns it out. He always speaks. He always loves. He always listens. He is constant. He does not change. Our thoughts of him change, but his thoughts of us never do. The most precious and rewarding thing that we can do is seek his face, because that in itself is life-changing. It changes us like never before. We do not have to be perfect to experience the presence of Jesus. We come as we are. Come to you who are weary and heavy laden, he says, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who are thirsty. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus still does this. He still baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And we all need that. A touch from the one whose sandals we are not fit to carry. We stand on holy ground in his presence. There is a scripture in Exodus 24 where Moses climbs Mount Sinai. And at the top of the mountain, there is a cloud there where God's presence dwells. And in verse 16 of chapter 24, it says, on the seventh day, God called to Moses from within the cloud. And he calls us into the cloud of his presence every day to stop, to take in who he is, to gaze upon his beauty. Wherever that cloud is for us, wherever it is for you, whether it's on the top of a mountain or whether it's in a room with the door closed or whether it's at the beach or in the garden, go to that place often. Go to that place as often as you can, because there is no place on earth that rivals that place. It is the place where we come face to face with a God who is holy. It is the place where we meet with the image of the invisible God, the one in whom all things were created on heaven and on earth, things invisible or visible, thrones, powers, rulers or authorities. He is the one through whom all was created. He is the one before all things who holds all things together. He is the head of the church, his body. He is the beginning, and in everything, 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 he has the supremacy. The fullness of God dwells in him. He is the one who reconciles us to himself, people, souls, relationships. He gives peace through his own blood shed on the cross at Calvary, and he calls you into the cloud of his presence. He beckons you. He pursues you to stop, to be loved, to let the burden of the day be lifted, to take time to gaze upon his beauty and allow yourself to be known by him and to know him a little more. If our lives are too busy, we substitute knowing God for doing stuff for God. If we spend time in the secret place, from that, we do stuff from God because we know who he is.